Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Man, what a great, great, great journey so far. God's just really been stirring my heart. We've worshiped God in singing. We worship God through our giving. Now we're about to worship God in the scriptures. You know, if you haven't already done so, I do want to encourage you, if you're worshiping with us on Facebook, why don't you go ahead and start a Facebook watch party? You have no idea who may join today. It's their day to hear what God has to say through this message, and you'll be part of them helping make that connection. If you're worshiping with us on our website or on YouTube, same thing. Just share your screen and make sure that you're doing all you can to help link people together with what God's saying. Today is such a great day. All the way through the month of July, we've been listening to God meet us in his scriptures as we worship God in that context. And he's been talking to us about the powerful, practical things we do every day that keep him centered in our everyday lives. And the seasons we're living in right now, we've never needed that more. And so whether it's our divine design, like we talked about a couple weeks back with Pastor Cherie, or last week we were talking about the power of relational prayer versus recitational prayer, and the power of actually connecting with God every day in that context and letting him connect with us and build that sense of relationship and our trust and faith in him. That all happens in that relational connection. And so whether it's those ways or what we're going to talk about today, which is the power of God's word at work in our thoughts. Most people don't realize how powerfully their thoughts affect our lives. In fact, you may not realize this, but your thoughts have a far bigger effect than you think in your life. But here's what I want you to know. Ignorance is not bliss. And God wants you to know that he's given us the ability to direct our thoughts because they have a powerful influence in the way he's designed us to live. So before we go any further, let's ask him to take his place in our worship journey through the scriptures and join us by the Holy Spirit's power. Come on, let's pray together. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you. You're such a good God. We feel your presence close. We feel the powerful grip of your grace around us. And we have a sense of anticipation and expectation to meet you in your Bible today and let you lead us by way of instructing us in your scriptures, giving us truth about how you've designed us to live, and we collaborate with you relationally by the truth that you've given us in your Bible. All these things we know are ours as we align ourselves to who you are. So take your place. We are your people in Jesus' name. Everybody said or typed, amen. Amen. I know God's about to do something great for you. So make sure your Bibles are open, your Bible apps, your notes, whatever you're taking notes on, and just be ready to connect with God because he's going to show you something really, really important. It's actually simple, but it's not easy to do. But I don't want you to let that throw you. It's a really simple context and concept and a powerful truth that God's going to show you. But when you apply it in your life, you're going to watch God do powerful works of change and transformation in your life. We're going to start this morning by looking at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7. This is where God tells us that our thoughts actually affect our experience, our life. He says it this way in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 3. It says, "For as he thinks in his heart, so is he." Imagine God is saying, whatever you think about, whatever you're meditating on, whatever you're picturing, whatever you're focused on, those things actually affect who you are. Not just how you feel, but ultimately who you are. And we've experienced this in more ways than you might imagine. Let me just draw a couple of connections that I think will help bring this into focus for you. For example, have you ever been watching a movie and it's a car chase and you realize as you're watching the cars zip in and out and they're going the wrong way on the highway or whatever it is, and you realize as you're sitting on the couch or in the theater or in your chair or wherever you're at, you're sitting there safely nestled in watching the movie, and you realize your heart rate is through the roof, your adrenaline just dumped, and you're just tingling all over as you imagine crashing into cars and all those things. You're not in danger. It's just you're envisioning that by what you're looking at. You know, something funny happened to me when I was a little guy. My brother and I grew up, and we're only a couple years apart in age. And so we grew up in Texas, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, there's a theme park called Six Flags Over Texas. And it's a fun theme park. And they had something that was always a hit, especially about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. It was hot and humid and all those things. Well, it's called the Chevy Show, and I don't know if you've ever seen the Chevy Show, but it was basically one of those kind of IMAX experiences before IMAX got here. And so my brother and I went in, and we were sitting beside each other, and he's a couple years younger than I am, and I'm probably 10, and he's 8 or so. And so we're sitting there watching the Chevy Show, and we didn't know what it was. It was our first time to be there. And so the benches are kind of like an arena. There's no backs on the benches. It's just kind of just a flat bench, you know, and then there's space for your feet and then another bench. And so we got filed in, and we were in a good spot about two-thirds of the way back through of the auditorium, just right where we could see the screen. It was perfect. And so we got going through there, and there was helicopter scenes where you fly over the edge of a cliff and your heart drops out as you're imagining, you know, falling off the cliff, but you realize you're not going to fall. And then slalom skis and all kinds of scenes, and it was just an exhilarating experience. Well, it ends at the very end of this with a car chase of all things. And so it's like two cars that start off in almost like a Grand Prix race. And they're zooming one, and then one gets out ahead of the other, and then for the rest of the race, they're going back and forth and back and forth, really high-speed turns, just all the things that go with that particular kind of scenes we were watching. And it was funny because I have a distinct memory of everybody's heads going swaying back and forth with every turn, and it was so much fun, and I was totally into it. My brother was totally into it. But neither of us were ready for what happened at the very end, because at the very end, the music was crescendoing, and we were catching up because we were in the car that was in the second position, and we were catching up to the car. And all of a sudden, the very last thing is the camera zooms right into the back of the car, and it hits like right up to the license plate, and so it comes careening right into that, and everybody goes oh like this. My brother just fell. He just fell off the back of the chair, the back of the bench he was on, and ended up in the floor, and we were just laughing. We had such a fun time, and it's a perfect picture, because what was really going on was his mind was interpreting experiences that he didn't realize weren't his. He really thought we thought we were in that car. That's the experience. And so as the scene unfolded, it wasn't just affecting our pulse and our adrenaline, it was affecting our bodies. We were swaying back and forth. And at the very end, we both reared back, and he just actually fell right off the back of it. And it was a perfect picture of helping illustrate the fact that what we think about, the images we have in our mind, don't just affect the way we think or feel or the choices we make. They affect us physically and physiologically. And God wants us to know our thoughts are powerful, but most people never think about their thoughts. It's as if they just flow with their thoughts wherever they happen to go, never realizing that God says, no, 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 your thoughts are like train tracks, that the locomotive of your life is pulling you down. You ever, I don't know if I'm into big stuff like this, and, you know, big, powerful equipment and machinery is a fun thing for me, and I've always been mesmerized by those big locomotives. Well, they range anywhere from 5 to 15,000 horsepower. And then you put 2 or 3 of those, or 5 or 6 of them stacked together, and you have trains a mile long. I literally looked this up, and there's trains that weigh on average up to 18,000 tons. And I don't know if you've ever run the math on what 16 or 18,000 tons actually translates into pounds. That's 36 million pounds of inertia running down those tracks. It takes a lot of energy to move a train. But here's what I want you to know. The train is powerless to actually go anywhere other than where the tracks are taking it. And many times, it feels like in our lives, we've got a situation that happened earlier on, and it created an image or a fear or some kind of a logjam in our thoughts and feelings, and it changed the way we felt about a person or an attitude we have about a situation. And after a while, it's just like it's entrenched in our lives, and it just changes our personality. And what I really want you to understand is our circumstances that we experience we experience the circumstances in our lives in line with the thoughts of our minds. It's the reason why two or three people could go through the exact same circumstance and have very different experiences. It's the power of what's going on in their thoughts. So as we're going through this morning, I want you to know that you are not a victim of your thoughts. See, like that train, it may be going down the track of your thoughts. But God wants you to know that He's made it possible to change tracks. There are things that we face called decisions, and they can literally change the tracks that we're running on. And God brings change in our lives. So God wants to change your experience, sometimes by changing your circumstance, but more often by changing our understanding and our thoughts and the thoughts of our mind. And so what I want you to know is that as we're looking at this, this is not a bunch of pop psychology or just contemporary concepts that you're looking at on TED Talks or whatever you're watching on YouTube. No, this is actually in God's Bible. I want you to look at a verse. It's one of my favorite verses when it comes to explaining this. It's Romans chapter 12, the very first part of verse 2 in the New Living Translation. It says this: don't copy the behavior and the customs of this world. Listen to this. But let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. God wants to bring transformation into our lives by changing the way we think. And it's a big deal. It's a big deal. You know, I don't know if you've ever, I don't know if you can remember the last time you heard a balloon pop. It's never a pleasant experience. But there's just a popping of a balloon. Well, it may sound like an irritating experience for you when you hear a balloon pop, but there's a circumstance that came to my mind as I was thinking about the sound of a popping balloon and the difference of experience you may have, whether you may feel frustrated or startled perhaps a little bit, or maybe something else. In fact, there was a tragic situation that happened back in December of 2007 at a big church in Colorado Springs called New Life Church. There was a shooter that actually came into that church service and started shooting people. One of the safety team actually took him out, and it was a terribly traumatic experience for that congregation. And there's just no words for the horrors of what that experience was like. And so it took a long time for that congregation to process through that. Well, they didn't realize that the experiences they were going to have, but a few weeks after that event, you know, everybody was starting to kind of resettle in what worship services were like. And they didn't realize this, but some of the children's ministry had done an event they set up in the lobby with like a balloon arch or something. Well, as the lobbies were filling up with people, some kids got around those balloon arches and started popping the balloons. Well, to you and me, it might be like, oh, that's kind of irritation. But to those people who just had that experience, it triggered a panic response, and people thought they were shooting again. So in their minds, they were running for cover. They were ducking behind. They were panicking, trying to find, where's my kids? Where's my wife? All those things. It wasn't real. It was just a balloon. But because association with an experience they went through just weeks earlier, that was a different association, their mind instantly went right back to that, and they didn't realize, they thought they were under attack again. So sometimes God wants you to realize that the experience that looks one way to somebody may feel very different to you based on the thoughts that are entrenched in your mind. But God wants you to know you are not a victim of that. You are not stuck. You are not trapped. You're not a victim. God's given you power through His Spirit and His Bible to literally reprogram the way your mind actually works. It's like upgrades. It's like upgrades that you might get on your phone or your iPad. I was just last weekend It was my birthday weekend. One of the things that I did, it was kind of a celebration, was I took a breakfast flight from Chandler down to a little cafe in Tucson at Marana Regional Airport. And so I fly these little Cessnas, but I fly with iPads. And so it's a beautiful system. I'm tempted to take you through the whole thing from takeoff to the climb out to talking to air traffic control. Can you tell I'm going through it right now in my mind? I'm having so much fun. But anyway, what happened was I got up that morning. I was supposed to, my wife was going to go, but we had a change of plans. And so it ended up she couldn't go. My brother joined me. And so we were supposed to meet at the airport at 6 o'clock in the morning. But about 5:30, I had to send him a text and said, they've upgraded the software. I'm going to have to wait until all the downloads happen so that my software is accurate. Why? Because if I took off with inaccurate data and software, the display that I fly the plane with could take me to the wrong spot. And it wouldn't be the airplane's fault. It wouldn't even be my fault. It was something going on in the computer. So they send out upgrades to keep updating all the data. And in a way, our minds are like that. God says, I want you to meet with me in my Bible and let me bring updates. I'm going to keep changing you by changing the way you think so we don't stay stuck in cycles of destruction or poverty or anxiety or any number of circumstances that we might find ourselves in right now with all the uncertainty and the things that are filling our understanding and our minds on news or social media or any of those other things. God wants you to know, hey, wait a second. Don't fly your life based on what you see on that screen. Meet with me every morning. Meet with me in my Bible. I want to show you where you are and show you the path forward. We talked about that last week, that my word is a lamp to your feet. It shows you where you are. It's a light to your path. It'll show you where to go. God is so powerful. He's so close to us. And as we're going through this morning, I want you to realize that we all need that update on a regular basis. Why? Because that's how God transforms us into who he's created us to be. I want you to look at one of the verses with me as we're working our way through this. And I hope God's giving you some instruction and encouragement this morning. But listen to what we see in Psalm chapter 119, verse 11. It says this, I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. You might be thinking, hey, Pastor, if I thought we were talking about a thoughts message, why do you got to sneak a little sin issue in there? Well, it's funny how God works on us, but what he's actually saying is this. Through the writer that he moved on to capture this truth for us, he said, here's how this works. When you hide my truth, my word, that means my scriptures, my truths, when you hide them in your heart, which is the deep entrenched parts of who we are, when you hide them in your heart, it actually reprograms the way you think. It changes the decisions that you make. It changes the experience that you have and the outcomes you experience. You might be thinking, well, I thought you were talking about sins. Well, okay, to be sure, it's true. God doesn't want all the classical sins you're thinking about, lying, stealing, cheating, having sex with somebody who's not your husband or wife, or any number of things that you might be thinking of as the classic sins. God doesn't want you to do any of that. All of those lead to death and destruction anyway. But while that's a primary application of that, there's a secondary thing I believe God wants us to realize this morning, and that is this. God designed us to work with him to fly above the storms in life. And one of the ways he helps us understand who we are is by keeping that context changing, where we grow in our understanding of who he's created us to be. Those updates, those upgrades, that day-by-day connection with him, meeting him in his Bible, letting him re-thread the thoughts of our mind, our understanding, so that we know who he is. It's true that he doesn't want us to sin against him, but sin literally means missing the mark, and against him means against him relationally and against the way he created us to actually live. See, God didn't create you to be stuck in sin. God created you to live free of the entanglements of sin, whatever the sin is. God wants you to live free of that. And one of the ways he gives us the ability to step out of those entanglements is when we meet him in his Bible. And according to Romans 12:2 that we looked at a minute ago, he literally brings transformation into who we are by changing the way we think. I've hidden your word in my heart so that I don't sin against you. I don't deviate against who you've created me to be. I don't deviate against the relationship you've given us access to you through. Why? Because when I'm linked together with you, God, I can fly into the fiercest storms of life and realize that nothing can defeat the who you are and who you are through me, which means I get to tag along with you. You can do all things. You never fail. And God wants you to know this morning that when it comes to the way our minds and our thoughts work, he wants you to realize you're not a victim of your thoughts, but you probably don't realize the power of what your thoughts are doing to you. When it comes to experiencing life change, most people live day to day to day largely the same. In fact, probably today was a lot like yesterday in your experience, and a lot like the day before, and a lot like the day before, and a lot like the day before. Same attitudes, same fatigue, same frustrations, same issues with people, same challenges, same this, same that. If you see a lot of sameness like that, one of the things I want you to realize is statistically that we think about 90% of our thoughts exactly the same day to day to day to day to day. The way our thought patterns work without us thinking about it keeps us stuck to that track. And the momentum of our lives just push us towards perhaps things we don't want to experience. And sometimes we throw up our hands and say, God, how do I get off this track? And today God is saying, here's how I want you to see it. If you'll meet with me daily and you'll bring the power of my truth, my words into your mind and you put them in your heart and you bury them there, I have hidden your words in my heart that I don't sin against you. I'll literally change who you are and change the experience that you have. God is just so powerful. I don't know who this is for. Maybe it's for you, or maybe it's for somebody you started a watch party for, but here's what I do know. I just felt the Holy Spirit say to me that God wants somebody out there to know you really aren't stuck where you think you are. And that sense of hopelessness that you have is from the pits of hell. That is not who God created you to be. Your circumstances don't lord over you. If you walk with Jesus and you walk in the strength and the power of the Holy Spirit, you can expect him to do miracle after miracle after miracle. And one of the ways he does it, I kid you not, is in the very lanes we're talking about today, where God transforms us into new people by changing the way we think. I'm going to give you some practical handles to hold on to on this, and I believe this is going to help you with in this particular area in a big way. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 4 through 5. It says this, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but are mighty in God." Say right there where you are, mighty in God. Mighty in God. "For the pulling down of strongholds." And the application I'm talking to you today is about the strongholds, the entrenched thought patterns, the entrenched automatic attitudes, the entrenched anxiety, the entrenched arrogance, the entrenched comparisons. I have no idea, but God wants you to realize that that stronghold doesn't have to stay there, because God is giving you weapons to fight that and win. And one of the weapons he's talking about, look at this. He says, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God." Listen to this. "Bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." Listen, we're just a few minutes from being done, but I hope you won't tune out yet, because the good stuff is just around the corner. Listen carefully to what we just talked about. God has said, I'm giving you weapons to deal with the very thing you're stuck with, the very thing you feel hopelessly stuck in. I've given you a powerful weapon, and that is the ability to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. In other words, think about the thoughts you're thinking. Don't just have the thoughts. Think about the thoughts and then do something with those thoughts. You're not a victim of those thoughts. He said, I've created you in my image, which means you can get above your thoughts. You can actually think about your thoughts. You're not like a dog or a cat or some other animal that even though they feel they have feelings like we might relate with, they don't have the ability to get above themselves and think about their thoughts. But you do because you're created in the image of God, which means it's the weapon that God's given you that working with him, this is not just some self-help idea that you can figure out how to have a little more chicken soup for your soul. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the ability to get with your heavenly Father, let him speak to you through his Bible and literally reshape the brain patterns of your thoughts so that the experience in your life changes. See, God said he sent his son Jesus to die for your sins, not just to get you to heaven, but to change who you are. And this is one of the big areas that I want you to realize. So let me give you a personal application, then we're going to wrap it up. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says it this way, set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. All right? So when it comes to the ability of our thoughts, think about them and then take control of them. You set them. Let me give you a quick explanation of what that means. When it says set your minds on things above, he's not talking about soft cottonelle clouds with angels strumming harps with little wings that beat like this. He's not talking about that you try to act like a little soft marshmallow or whatever. He's not talking about any of that kind of stuff. What he's talking about is I want you to set your mind, which means I want you to focus your thoughts. I want you to focus your thoughts on things above, which means I want you to focus your thoughts on God and his kingdom and his ways. That's what we focus on. Not on earthly things, which are our experientially based thoughts that maybe include trauma or any number of letdowns or things that we feel victimized by. No. Don't let that or other culturally established norms. Don't let those be what you set your mind on because you will experience what the culture around you says is normal. But God says, that's a trap. I want you to set your mind on things above. Set your mind on things above. Say, how do you do that? Pastor Dave, I want to. How do I do that? Listen, we're almost done. Hold tight. Don't go anywhere. When it comes to setting your mind, it means recognizing when you have a feeling of anxiety and you know what I really want is the peace of God to deal with this anxiety. There's a way to set your mind off of what's producing the anxiety and onto who God is through his Bible. Let me give you this. I'm going to give you two or three different categories of thoughts and then statements that go with scriptures tied directly to those thoughts and let God recalibrate the way you're thinking. Listen to this. Lord, I feel anxiety. I need your peace. But I remember that you will keep me in perfect peace because my mind stays set on you and your way. God, you said in your Bible you would keep me in perfect peace when and because my mind, the focus of my thoughts, is set on you, not the experience or the circumstance, but set on you and your ways. And that comes from Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Or maybe you're struggling with fear and you're not sure what to do about some circumstances you're afraid of. Well, based on 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, you can say, God has not given me the spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. You say, Pastor Dave, does that work? Absolutely. Why? Because that's what God said. I didn't give you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. And I want you to set your mind on me and what I do for you. And if you put this in conjunction with what we've been talking about the last couple of weeks, meeting God daily, relationally digging deeper wells with him in prayer, listening to the path and the power of God's scriptures as he brings the power of that revelation into our understanding. Little by little, we're going to watch God do big things by bringing transformation into our lives. Maybe you're afraid for your children and the era of time they're growing up in. Many of you know, but perhaps a lot of you don't, that we've not had a chance to meet. We've raised successfully one daughter in our home. She was just leading you in praise and worship. Her name is Pastor Lacey. And she grew up in our house and has had a fantastically productive life. God uses her and her husband, who was leading the band today, in worship in powerful ways. And so we've had that. But in our 50s, we adopted a little baby who's almost 2 years old now. We've had her since she was 2 months old. And the world she's growing up in now is different than the world Lacey grew up in when we had her all those years ago. So sometimes I find my thoughts thinking, God, what kind of world is she going to grow up in? And then I arrest those thoughts, because based on Isaiah chapter 54, verse 13, I can declare all of my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. All of my children are taught of the Lord, and great is their peace. What am I doing? I'm focusing my mind on who God is, what He's promised, and what He said He'll do. You know what that's doing? It's retraining the tracks of my mind. And pretty soon, what I personally experience is the shift of those feelings. And concern and even sometimes fear drains away. And in its place is a strength that God brings to me and says, nope, David, Victoria Sue Wright is in my hands. I brought her into yours and Pastor Sheree's life. I'm going to do in her exactly what I've positioned her in this world to experience. And you just teach her of me and watch what I do in her life. What am I doing? Exactly the same thing I'm telling you God wants us to do when it comes to the way our thoughts work. I want to give you a quick reference, then we're going to wrap this message up. We have a resource we use at LifeLink. It's called Power Professions and Scriptures. It's available to you. If you'll text handouts to the number on your screen, you'll be actually taken to where that tool is parked just for you. You can download that and put it on your phone or print it out or whatever you want to do. But it covers categories like what we just talked about. Maybe you're afraid you're too far away from God and there's never any hope of getting back with God. God says, no, I've given you a scripture that deals with forgiveness and relationship. What about fear, about healing, about provisions, about direction in life, peace, and children or unsaved loved ones? Here's what I want you to do. If you don't already have a resource like that, text that number. Get the resource. And then when you feel the feels that go with what we're experiencing in life, whatever topic that is, I want you to actually then say, nope, I'm not a victim of those thoughts. I'm not. I've been given a powerful tool and a weapon against that experience. And I'm going to take the power of God's word, and I'm going to learn to accept who God is and what He says about me. Listen, I'm almost done. Please don't sign off. God's talking to somebody right now. I'm going to learn to accept who God says I am based on His words. And I'm going to reject the thoughts that are not aligned with that. I'm going to take authority over my thoughts. Why? Because my thoughts are the tracks that my experience runs on. And I am not a victim of my thoughts. You're not a victim of your thoughts. God gave you an enormous power to work with Him and let Him transform us into new people. Listen to one last time, Romans 12, 2. It says this, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. He'll do it if you meet with Him and learn how to work with these tools, powerful weapons for life change. Well, listen, I hope that's connecting with you right where you are. God's going to do a powerful work. We're praying for you all week long. Listen, we just have about 30 more seconds. Let me pray a quick prayer for you, and then we'll be releasing you back into your Sunday. But let's pray together. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for the opportunity we've had to meet you in your Bible. Listen to the power of the truth of your words. Tell us how thoughts affect our lives. Illuminate the reality that we have authority and power over our thoughts. We're not victims of our thoughts. But we can let you actually reprogram or recalibrate or rethread the very path of our thoughts by bringing truth from your Bible, by the work of the Holy Spirit, into our understanding. And when we do that, you change the way we think, what changes the experience we have. You bring healing. You bring freedom. You bring power. You bring authority. You bring all the things that go with walking through life in relationship with you, and we just thank you for it. Right now, wherever you are, I want to talk to those of you who may be thinking, I would love to have that, but I'm not sure where I stand with God. Listen, I want to give you a life change prayer. If you'll just open your heart and say yes to Jesus, I promise you we're going to watch God do something great, all right? If you're ready to say yes to Jesus and give him control of your life, step into line with who he's created you to be, let him forgive you for all of your sins and change your life forever, I'm going to ask that you open your heart, open your mouth, and let's say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, come on right where you are. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die on Calvary's cross to pay for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed, that you wash me and cleanse me and make me new. Today, I'm giving my whole life to you. I've decided to follow you. No turning back. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Listen, church, I love you. I know God's doing something great. I'm going to turn it back over to Pastor Sheree, and I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.